Hi, welcome back to another episode of You, the Mother podcast by Abby Williams, a space dedicated to supporting, empowering, and connecting all parents in all seasons of parenthood. You can find more supportive content over on Instagram at You, the Mother, and be sure to check out youthemother.com, where you can reach out to work with me one-on-one or sign up for my group coaching. In today's episode, we are talking all about the spicy ones with Mary Van Geffen. Mary is an international parenting coach for moms of spicy ones. She helps people who are highly competent in life but overwhelmed by motherhood to lean into the discipline of staying calm and cultivating warmth and tenderness, all while trying to wrangle fiery future CEOs. Often this requires serious skill building and a balm of self-compassion. Mary's over on Instagram, where she posts an inspiring parenting tip every single day. Just reading her social media will help you delight in your child and remember you are enough. Mary believes that when a mom realizes how hard she is on herself and cracks open the door to some self-compassion, her entire family is bathed in light. She offers online parenting classes and her signature 8-week group coaching program, Moms of Spicy Ones, to help moms gain the confidence to choose gentle, respectful parenting, especially if they weren't raised that way. Mary is a certified simplicity parenting counselor and professional coactive coach, but her greatest accomplishment is cultivating a calm, kind, and firm relationship with her spicy go-getter daughter, who is now 18, and her mild child son, who is now 16. Today, she is bringing her life coaching and teaching skills to our podcast to talk all about the spicy ones. Be sure to go find Mary over on her website, maryvangeffen.com. She's also over on Instagram at Mary Van Geffen. And be sure to check out her tweens and teens class to shift your parenting style for a lifelong connection with your adolescent. This is a self-paced teaching plus a live Q&A on August 10th. The link for that will be in the description of this podcast. I hope that you enjoy today's episode, and if you do, please be sure to leave a 5-star rating and review. Your support here on the podcast always means the world to me, and I so appreciate you being here. So let's get started in supporting you, the mother. Mary, welcome to You, the Mother podcast. I am so excited that you are here joining me today because I think the spicy children, they can be a little intimidating, a little like, what the heck are we doing? And so a lot of us with spicy children need a little help maybe or a little reframe on them. So thank you for joining me here today. But first, tell my listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, I have got my own kids. I love it when people are like, oh, you're a parent coach. Do you have kids? Like, I hope so. So I have an 18-year-old about to head off to college.
Oh, my goodness. Girl, are you okay?
So far.
Or are you like, yeah, go.
Well, nature does a nice job of like, they're mean towards the end. So, but no, I mean, we've had a beautiful summer together. And good. I know I'm going to be hyper emotional about it, but yeah. I'm protected okay. Right now.
Good.
And then I've got a 16-year-old boy and a wonderful husband. I live in Long Beach, California.
Yeah.
And I'm really into pickleball. And I guess you're asking, like, what are my credentials? I'm a parent coach for the spicy one. I'm big on Instagram in terms of providing a lot of support. And I have a lot of classes that are an hour. But my signature sort of offering is Moms of Spicy Ones, which is an 8-week group program where you finally find other mothers who are struggling with these strong-willed, intense dragon children so that you don't feel like there's something wrong with you or something wrong with your kid.
Yeah. And I am a huge supporter of the group work. I do like groups myself. Yeah. And I'm just like, if you do not find your people in your struggles – you got to go do it. You got to go find your group. You got to go find your people. You're not alone.
Yeah, and that's
you're
what's been crazy. Nice about the, say that one more time.
I'm like, you're not alone. You're not crazy, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's one of the good things about social media is even if you're not ready to pull the plug and invest and mm-hmm. and commit to a group, there's this feeling of like, whoa, there's other people that are struggling with the same phenomena, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. And that's got to count for something that it's normalizing and making people not feel so broken.
Yeah. I love that. I love that you are creating that in your space. And if you're not following Mary, you have to, because her reels, I think you do amazing with your content. Your reels are so good. Yeah.
I think more mostly because they're not polished. I'm not doing a second take.
They're so good. Yeah.
I'm just showing up, doing my best and moving on.
I love it. I love it. So, Mary, let's dive in. What are we talking about when we're talking about our spicy kids?
Well, we're talking about, in the past, they've been called strong-willed children. They're also mm-hmm. highly sensitive, mm-hmm. but they are tough to control. They sort of have this internal locus of wanting to steer their own ship. They are fiercely independent. They're kind of inept in some ways and gifted in others. They mm-hmm. express themselves in these big and dramatic ways, and they just take up a lot of space. Yeah. Comparatively to other children, and they feel things so intensely. They're louder, they use powerful words, and they're powerful negotiators until they get to the point where they realize, oh wow, you're not going to shift, and then they totally melt down. Their tantrums and meltdowns are so much longer and more intense. Sometimes they hurt us on purpose, mm-hmm. And they can't generally be consoled physically. Yeah. A nice hug doesn't do it for them. And they also can be incredibly loyal, and they are the future activists and advocates. I mean, they're going to be amazing adults, but they're really hard to parent.
Yeah. Yeah. Once I have four kids, I have a little, nice little mixture of each. And I do agree with you that they come with some pros and cons, some hard stuff and some really great stuff. These spicy children, I think, do love really big, and they're hard. And as maybe a little bit of a spicy former child myself, how can we parent our spicy kids in a way that doesn't dim their light? I think like that is my biggest maybe angst with some of the way that I was parented. Was I felt like I wasn't allowed to be who I wanted to be. And when I look at, I have one daughter who I feel like is very much like me, and she is my hardest to parent, which I also have a lot of like shame around sometimes, because I'm like, why is this so hard for you? You know, like you were like this. You should know what she needs. But I think for me, there's a lot of like internal alarm bells that ring when she's acting in certain ways that it's like, shut this down. This isn't safe. You're not allowed to be like this. And you need to like lock it up. And so, you know, that's like so much of my healing work is around like parenting her, especially. And just, you know, how to allow her to have that space to be her and not dim that. Because I see how powerful some of those things that you have inside of you are. And so I guess I'm just like, you know, rambling. But
no, I get it. You're saying like, and you're naming like the quintessential like tension point.
Right.
Because it's really hard to love this largeness and bigness when we don't necessarily love that in ourselves, because our mother didn't love it in ourselves.
Yeah.
And so here we are. We're just about to reproduce the same script. And yet we've like have this raised awareness. We've been gifted with a consciousness and a education and maybe a support that our mother didn't have.
Yep.
And if – I mean, I have 8 weeks of how to not dim their light. But if I was going to give one big kernel, it would be learn how to delight in them, delight in that child. And that's going to mean delighting in yourself. Like it is almost impossible to love the highly sensitiveness, the outspokenness, if you don't first love that part in yourself.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to push it down and tame it, then you won't be able to tolerate it in them.
I'm cringing.
How come? Tell me more.
Right? I'm like, oh, you're right, you're right, you're right.
But that's good news.
Yeah.
I mean, what it's calling us, like the light at the end of the tunnel is self-compassion. Mm-hmm. And like so many people can ask me 18 questions and usually my answer is, okay, let's pour compassion all around on that.
Yeah.
Like a sense of tenderness and non-judgment and it's going to be okay. And just it just is, you know, so much of raising a spicy one, there's a lot of what feels like suffering or pain, but it doesn't really have to be when we see that it's an invitation to healing. It's an invitation to say, wow, why am I so triggered by this way of being, the way they just show up like they own the world? Because I could be that too. Like I could be invited into a space of loving who I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that when we come into parenthood with some of these mother wounds, father wounds, you know, some stuff, our children, and you know, it's so funny. Like I have four kids and they're all so different and they each have these little like spotlights in my holes. In different ways, right? And like the way that they push on some of your buttons and trigger certain things inside of you. And I think like having that reframe of allowing that light, letting it be light and not a burden or a problem that they need to stop so that you're not getting those triggers pushed, right? And just allowing it to be a light to heal some of those things, like you're saying, you know, like what
a beautiful
invitation to do the work and do some of that healing.
And it's almost like it's your curriculum. Yeah. Like it depends on your spirituality, but for me, it's like God saying, here you go, it's time to work on this. And I'm bringing you a defenseless human who is going to, you know, do things that make you feel all the feelings you felt before, but now you get a chance to love on yourself and to ride out those emotions and build your ability to have self-regulation and self-compassion. And I'm one of the things that makes me happiest is that staying calm or getting back to calm is not an inborn trait. That there are some people, yes, that have just, you know, their biometrics or, you know, the blood pressure is never going to come up. But for most of us, it is a learned skill. And these spicy kids that have so many no's in them and want to innovate and never follow are going to require just so much of that from us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess how can we lovingly guide some of these spicy children so that we're not, you know, dimming this light? We are allowing them to be them, but creating boundaries with them that seem loving and not like harsh, right?
Yeah. Give me an example.
Well,
because it kind of depends on the age. Right. It depends on the situation. And sometimes somebody's asking me that. And I realize they have so many darn boundaries. They have so many rules. And, you know, that classic Enneagram 1 who's like, there's a right way to do things as a family. Well, guess what? You got this person plunked down who's going to be silly and brutally honest, and they are a free spirit. And so which rules do you want to – which ones matter the most? Maybe there needs to be a lowering of the stakes. Everything can't be so crucial. Tell me a little bit
That's true. I really agree with that because I definitely like classify myself as very like type A, but I'm also very strong-willed and like want it my way. But there's 100 different ways to do it this way, right? We can talk about like organizing the closet, like me and my strong-willed child who's very much like me. Both are like this where we want things orderly and controlled and whatever. But we have two very different ways. So then like we come into this closet to like organize the closet together and you're like, no, your way is wrong. And now it's like a power struggle, right?
And I've had to, I guarantee like, do, you,
I had to do a not, lot of not like, that, self-work of, you need to let go of some of this. Like, so when you're like, which ones yeah. can be
like, so much of it, like specifically letting go of clothing.
Yeah.
That is just a power struggle. It's not necessarily when you have food, a spicy one. They have
food. I just like don't want to have the dinner time fights anymore. And I just don't care. My kids are a little bit younger. I have one teenager and then the other three are on the younger end. And I just like, at some point they're going to come around and I'm not going to have all this picky eating stuff. But right now it's just not a fight I'm going to have. So I guess like when we're talking about maybe the way that we talk to people, hitting, we got some hitting stuff going on in our house when we don't get our way. And I can feel myself being very, I can be shaming at times with it, right?
You're just going back to the old program.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have a big age gap between my first two children. So they're both very much like the firstborn children. Because of this big age gap. And I was the firstborn child. And so I think that like a lot of like the things that get said to that firstborn child when you're like picking on the little ones or you're beating up on the little ones, it's like you should know better. And I can like just hear those things like fly out of my mouth, right? And I think we can all kind of plug in different things that maybe you hear some of your mom coming out of your mouth. Oh, and it makes sense that like it's part of your blueprint. It's what you know, right? And we can be like, okay, but that's not how I want to parent. I want to do things differently.
And I think that the sibling conflict really brings it up, right? When somebody, like, you love these kids, you don't want one hurt, even if it's emotionally hurt because the one is saying nasty things.
Right.
And spicy ones are so sensitive to being shamed.
Yeah.
Like, in a way, that's another beautiful way they are sent to help us, because they any kind of shaming backfires, right?
Yeah.
So with siblings, I mean, that's a whole thing of.
And I would like to touch on some of the sibling stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
With siblings, so much of it is we think that we are supposed to be the arbitrator and the judge and this King Solomon. Let me tell you what I see is who's right and who's wrong. And we actually completely ambush their ability to learn healthy conflict resolution. And so really doing the self work to stay so regulated and to help them engage in conflict resolution, which is annoying to the spicy one. After the spicy one hits or does something, they want to take off.
Right.
But keeping them to be like, well, hold on a second. What is your brother saying? Oh, it sounds like your brother doesn't want you to hit him. Well, I did it. Well, hold on a second. What do you hear him saying? He doesn't want me to hit him. Okay. And what is your point of view? And you're not a judge. You are an interpreter. Yeah. You are a person who's there to make sure these two people with two different languages can hear each other. And then you have to believe in them that they will find a solution by saying like, so what should we do, guys? Rather than we come in and we're like, oh, I'm so sick of it. It's the 10th argument today, which is very normal. Something like every 6 minutes, two.
I hate it, kids though.
Yeah, it's not
That's
peaceful.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. And it's the work of learning how to be in relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, it's helpful that they're having these. I think staying in touch with that too, that like, what are they learning from this conflict? What's the upside of it? What's the gift?
Yeah. So I guess so when they're having some of these sibling rivalries, we can't be swooping in and fixing. We need to be the interpreter.
Yeah. I mean, I have a class on how we do our part to minimize the rivalry, which is, you know, so much of it. And a big part of it is to not come across as if there's favoritism, which is really hard when you have a spicy one, because they're killing the vibe so often. They are ruining the family trip. They are screaming in the car and everybody else is kind of in victim mode. So it's tough, but there's a lot we can do. Not comparing them, never labeling one, oh, you're my reader, but you're my artist. Like, none of that is good. Really trying to treat them as individuals and coming back to giving them criticism in private. It's just basic leadership skills, mm-hmm. right? Criticizing in private if you have an issue, and encouraging when it comes to sibling rivalry, also in private.
Yeah.
Like when you're like, look at your brother, he's done so great. That might get the spicy one kind of heated up.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say, when we have some of these messy mom moments and we don't show up perfectly every time, something that I've noticed with my kids that could have never been in my home is that my kids will come back to me and kind of let me know how some of those things made them feel. And there's like that ability to have that repair.
Yes.
So I'm just like, whoever's listening, if you're like, you've done the comparing, you've done the shaming, you've done, you know, whatever is the thing that we're not supposed to be doing. We make mistakes, you know, we're not going to show up perfect every time, okay. right? And modeling some of those apologies are just as important.
Wait, can I, yeah. I have to like yeah. tell on myself yeah, the other it. Day. The other day I was like, oh, I can't believe you're leaving me soon. I'm going to be so sad to my older.
Yeah.
And my younger one said, what about me? I'm leaving in a couple years. And out of my mouth, which probably comes from my own mother, yeah. was, yeah. oh, you'll be easy to let go because you're and I could see harder. His face fall. And I was like, why did I just say that? Yeah. And I what I meant is he's so independent and, yeah. And yeah. anyway, I had to come back and repair.
Yeah.
And I'm a parent coach and I'm constantly repairing, and I'm so emboldened by the fact that all great intimate relationships have to have a foundation of repair.
Yeah.
If everything's always been so perfect, you don't really know that person. You haven't really stripped away the fakeness. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So repair is crucial. A new learning of mine over this last year is that part of repair is not just dumping an apology on somebody. Sorry, I did that. Oh, I feel bad. I won't do it again. It's also saying, what was that like for you?
Yeah.
What's it like when I say, you know, you're too loud or whatever, you know, or what was it like when I was gushing over your sister and then like, I want to listen to that. And sometimes they won't say, but I think making space for that is an important part of them processing whatever wounding we cause, because we're going to cause a bunch of them.
Right. Gosh, like how different my life would be if I had that.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Yeah, if somebody was like, what was the impact like? Well, yes. I would love to tell you if you're listening.
Yeah, I mean, that's a beautiful thing that we're a generation of parents that's willing
to do that,
to tolerate the discomfort of being the one who hurt somebody and listening to that. Yeah. And yeah, just that's such a gift.
I think so too. And just to like reiterate that we're not going to not hurt them. We just have to tolerate the discomfort of hurting them and walk.
And for a lot of us, we're going to pendulum swing, and instead of, you know, being ignored or abandoned, mm-hmm. we're going to swing over to hypervigilance and trying to be a snowblower of get everything out of the way for them. And then they're going to have their own reason to go to therapy. So the goal is not to be in therapy. Yeah. It's to create a lifelong connected relationship where you continue to be a support to them and get to have a window on their life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess like as we, because I think that, you know, we can like talk all day probably about like these toddler years, these young years, spicy kids and what that looks like. But I'm curious, you know, as like our spicy ones evolve and continue to grow, they're getting older. Do you notice like a shift in some of the emotional regulation with them? Or like just how does the spicy child evolve, and how does our parenting them evolve?
Well, my favorite phenomena is that when we as parents figure out how to parent a spicy one well in the 4, 5, 6 age, teenagehood is a piece of cake.
Really?
Because we've already done the because you've already done the self work to be like, wow, I'm in charge, but I am not in control.
Yeah.
And And you've already figured out how to be a little more unflappable about disrespect or not getting your way or being, you know, whatever that is, you aren't as volatile because you have worked through it. And so I think there's like a lot of people with mild children, I call them mild childs and spicy ones. They are really struggling once they get to teenage, because that's what our spicy ones are. They're little teenagers in child's bodies. They're like, I do it. I know what I'm doing. It's like this intense force of nature.
Yeah.
But how do I see them? I mean, they're later. It takes them longer to regulate.
Yeah.
And, you know, it kind of depends. Are they neurodivergent or are they just sort of just a strong personality? But I do think it takes them longer. And, but the ones that I tend to work with, they get there.
Yeah.
They get there. It's just like, and specifically my daughter is like just a joy and the first of her peers to get a job, and she'll go up to any adult and, you know, but they're still tough at home.
Yeah.
So I think these highly sensitive children are going to keep like vibing off of you and learning how to handle the world. Mm-hmm. And then they come home and their needs are bigger in terms of like refueling and kind of getting back to homeostasis.
Yeah. It's hard. Because I don't feel like I'm ever going to be like easy.
And do you mean your kid or you?
Me.
Yeah.
You know what
but
I mean?
I don't want to be easy.
Right. Or like, I feel like I was the spicy child and it was shamed. And I've noticed in like different walks of like, you know, now I'm in adulthood, I'm parenting children, but I've noticed in different parts of my life where being spicy is not celebrated. Right. So I'm like, well, then this just
especially
isn't.
Especially because you, this you just have a vulva.
Like, you know, so this just isn't the room for me. I'm going to go to the spaces where I do shine and I'm celebrated, and I'm going to be an entrepreneur, and I'm going to, you know, create spaces where people can have conversations that are hard and, you know, whatever. Right. And so I think like
exactly.
we find our place. And so your child's going to find their place. You just have
and it
to
won't
love
look like the traditional.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah. It won't be a textbook. Oh, they go to this, to that. So you kind of have to have your hold your hands loosely on what you thought the path would be.
Mm-hmm.
But we find it. Like like you said, we become entrepreneurs because we bomb out in the corporate world or we don't. We figure out our hyper focus and we – but yeah, it's going to look different, but we're going to be okay because we find the thing that we're so compelled by and – we aren't afraid to be different. It's, you know, it can be lonely.
It can be lonely for sure. Yeah.
Literally yesterday, my therapist is like, one thing I want for you is that you would have like a powerful female friendship that's also tender and able to like tell you how much they delight in you. And I was like, another powerful friendship. Like I realize as a spicy one, I have veered away from other spicy ones because two loudmouth babes in one room just feels like one too many.
That's probably true. I have like a business partner that I do like workshops and stuff with, and she and I have very like similar upbringings. Where I think that's really good that we like kind of understand each other's wounding and when things could get pushed on, we're very like sensitive to each other like that. But she was very much the good kid and I was very much not. And I think some of that can be like, we definitely kind of call each other out on some stuff. And I think like we have a really unique relationship, but I can like identify with if there was two of me, would it be as like synchronized? And I don't know, just that we can fill in different things for each other, like in this partnership, would it be like that if we were both me? I don't know.
Well, that's why a lot of mother-daughter combinations can be tough.
Yeah.
Because you've got two spicy ones and it's like, I remember my mom saying, I'm the queen of this house, even though you sure want to be.
Yeah.
And I had to get to a point where I was like, do I need to be queen or can I just be can I be the can I be the confidant to the princess, you know? But yeah, that's one of my greatest accomplishments in my life is that I have a great relationship with my really strong female daughter.
Yeah.
And I didn't have that growing up. I remember one time it was eighth grade and we were looking for an eighth grade graduation dress and we're walking through the mall and she took my hand and we were walking through the mall holding hands. And I began to like have this existential crisis because I've never held another woman's hand.
Yeah.
I didn't have that. And here I was, I had created it, but also, I want to let go. Oh no, I don't ever want it to stop. It's all foreign. We're making this up.
Yeah. I have those same moments. It's hard. And like kind of leaning into the discomfort, I guess. How do we like lean into the discomfort of our spicy child when maybe we like, you know, kind of going back to being shamed for being the spicy child?
I think a lot of it is like in the beginning, just literally have a mantra, a statement that you say to yourself mm-hmm. when you start to feel your body going, hell no.
Yeah.
You know, when you feel that inner resistance and the clenching
yeah.
and the heat, that let those be a signal. Oh, okay. I need to take a moment and check in with the part of me, the young part of me that is feeling threatened mm-hmm. and telling her something like, there's room for everybody here
yeah.
or you are beloved and a wonderful mom, regardless of how your child is feeling today. Mm-hmm. You know, just having something, one person's was like, there's no emergency here. And that felt good to her. But having your thing you say, I think can be just a rope in the mist to get up this mountain.
Yeah. Mary, I think the last question I have is around society maybe not celebrating our spicy children, and maybe we're doing a lot of self-work. We are, you know, buying the courses and we're learning and growing and healing ourselves and showing up for them better. But they're still just their spicy little selves and we want to celebrate them, but then they go off to school. They go off to daycare. They go off to a friend's house. They go out into society and their spiciness maybe isn't celebrated everywhere. Is there ways that we can get other people on board to support them? Or are there ways that we can, you know, maybe support them better at home so that they can go out and manage better? What should we be doing with our spicy children that have a hard time outside of the home?
Well, so much of it is modeling how to handle their disruption. So mm-hmm. I think of like being someplace and saying, wow, you're having a really hard time quieting yourself, like using
yeah.
kind language or turning to a fellow mother and saying she's still working through being able to control her emotions. Like you're naming the thing, which kind of lets other people know, okay, that mom's like, she sees it. Mm-hmm. She's not, not doing anything. So I think that sports casting and naming what you see is important, but doesn't really help when you're not in the room. I think keeping play dates short and sweet,
yep.
getting that little spicy one out of there, leave on a good note,
yeah.
leave places earlier before the meltdown. I think so often we're just enjoying ourselves and we're like, oh, let's just keep going. And then we wait until it all like hell breaks loose and then we leave in a total huff. But I also think when it comes to school that sometimes they're not meant for school. I hate to say that. They are sort of better for a homeschooling environment. Guess what? I wasn't okay to be a homeschool person. I don't have the temperament. So
same.
I had to send my kid off to public school.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's some great public schools, obviously. And this one was great. And we had teachers that adored her and teachers that were like, but I'll never forget, like, say that again.
Get this child out of here.
Yeah. But then there are these moments of like, I remember I would volunteer. So make yourself there. So you are like, I see it. Yes. But I remember volunteering and seeing her stand, being the only one standing at her desk and feeling so thankful that teacher was okay with that. One thing that's kind of a good idea to do is like a one sheet on your kid. Hey, these are things that my kid is great at. She'll love to be in charge. Have her pass out papers, like giving that teacher some ideas of how to handle this big personality. Mm-hmm. But I really object when people are like, you know, your daughter was not doing this today in school. It's like, I can't make them do it in school. I can have a talk with them, but they're not a mild child. That's like, ooh, mommy said that's not okay. I mean, so a lot of it is out of our control.
I agree.
I don't know. Do you have any ideas for helping people love our child?
Well, you know, it's hard, right? Because I'm a therapist who works with kids. And I see this a lot where, especially when you have kids who have ADHD, some of this neurotypical stuff, you know, going on, and then you might add some spicy stuff on top of there, right? And I just think that, like, at school, we just want kids that are, like, in the box. That's just easy. And I can get through my day to educate this room full of children. The majority of the kids in that classroom probably aren't in the box, and you might have lots of different kids that are different things, right? And you know, it's hard because I also like see the educator who has all these rules and like, you know, modern society stuff.
They have 30 children to one adult.
It's just like there's so many variables there that just I can't even imagine being an educator in today's society. So I agree. I love like the idea of like a one sheet and being more strength based. I see a lot of these school one sheet kind of programs that like kids literally are like walking around with a sheet from teacher to teacher and they're like marking all the things that they did wrong for the day.
Oh gosh, I like, can't stand
please
those.
Don't do that to these little people. It's so shaming. And like, can we have them walk around with like a sheet of their wins? You know, even if it's like something stupid, like they stood at their desk instead of walked laps around the room, you know, like something just like little, I don't know, you know, make something
or
up.
Let them walk laps around the room. Right. If you can, I know it's disruptive,
right?
But if you're listening to this and you're like, oh yeah, those charts or those clipboards or what clip programs.
Yeah.
You can say you are not to use that with my child. Those are shame based. Like feel free to advocate. And then, but you got to have some ideas of what will work with your child for them. And it's tough. Just so you know, I had at least two Playmates parents say, we can't have Mary over anymore. When I was little.
Yeah.
So part of it is just, it's how the spicy one learns. They learn through failure and you can give them a nice lecture about what's going to happen and try to give them the lay of the land and they just nod and they go do it their way and they burn some bridges.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's just part of their journey.
Yeah.
I didn't get into a single sorority that I wanted to be in because I was bragging about how amazing I was at lacrosse. Like it's just so dumb.
Right.
And I needed that. I needed that deep pain to know that like my words mattered and you how to build relationship. And now at 50, it's really easy for me to make friends. But that's going to be the journey that your child is on. It's going to be really messy. So just try and be a safe person who knows they're just as upset enough. You don't have to get upset. But some spicy ones are like, oh, that's fine. You know, I'm off the team. I don't care. I didn't want to be on the team anyway. So sometimes it's like, are they getting the message?
But they'll have like those natural consequences that, you know, shape them how they're supposed to be shaped. I don't know. Maybe they don't care. Godspeed.
These kids are their own masterpiece instead of our, we wanted to be the artists and we are not. They're doing it themselves.
Yep. We just have to be there loving and supporting them. And I think that, you know, that's the goal in parenting is just being that supportive and connecting piece.
And obviously we want them to be good community members. Yeah. And when they have caused harm, a lot of times it makes sense for you to be the one who initiates repair and just let them witness this. Mm-hmm. Let them see that that's enough, that they are learning through that because what you do is so much more important than what you say to them. Mm-hmm. And so just know that it is enough for you to go and smooth things over and let them know. And you don't have to be angry at them. There's an inner self-hate developing, clear as a bell.
Yeah. Yeah. And I hate that for them.
Yeah.
I don't want them to have inner self-hate.
But that's kind of part of humanity, right?
Yep. I just hate that part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mary, thank you so much for having this conversation with me. And I know that you have so much more content and resources for those of us who are parenting these spicy children. Can you tell my listeners where they can find you?
You can find me at Mary Van Geffen on Instagram. Yep. And come September, I hope you'll consider joining Moms of Spicy Ones.
Yeah, definitely. I'm like, I cannot speak more highly for the group work. Go join your groups. If you have spicy kids, go find your people. It is so impactful. So thank you, Mary, for being one of the people in the space that is creating those pockets for people to plug into. It's really, really important work that you're doing. I will be linking all of those in the description of this podcast. So make sure that you go give Mary a follow. And Mary, thank you again for helping me support you, the mother.
Oh, pleasure.